Good morning. As the basis of our meditation today, we turn to 2 Corinthians, reading selected verses, one from chapter 4 and one from chapter 5. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight. Perhaps it's been a while since you got to see this. I want you to think about a baptism done where you were there, a church service perhaps, or maybe another location. In a church service, the parents bring their newborn, and then at the appointed time, up to the baptismal font, they all go with sponsors. Now, prior to the baptism, we believe, don't we, that this child, like all other children, came into this world not just a sinner, but as one dead in sin, he or she is also an unbeliever, not yet a member of God's family. In fact, if nothing changes, this person is only capable of treating God like an enemy, rebelling against Him in various ways, and then facing, at the end, the real prospect of hell. But the baptism happens. Water is applied. The Word of God is used. And incredible changes do take place. The Holy Spirit comes into the heart, causing this young human person really to believe in Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins. This child goes through a second birth right then and there, born again, a member of God's family now, and an heir of eternal life. Now, what about our perspective, using our eyes and ears? From the outward point of view, we don't notice anything. Things seem pretty much the same. We don't see the Holy Spirit's arrival, for example. The child does not verbalize anything that would indicate that he now believes in Christ. And the baby coming back from the baptism is looking pretty much the same as the one that went up to the baptism. Well, appearances can be deceiving. Appearances don't tell you and me the entire story. In this instance, we can't go by what our eyes are telling us, but only by what God's Word is telling us. I want to take one more example of another baby, the only one who didn't need baptism. When the shepherds ran that night to Bethlehem, were they looking for something miraculous? Like a baby with a glowing face? Or a halo over its head? No, in fact, they didn't even have a moving star to guide them, as the wise men did. Based solely on the Word, information that God gave them through the angels, they were looking for a newborn wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in, of all things, an animal feed trough. Now, from the human visual perspective, the odds of this humble-looking child also being the Almighty Son of God were pretty low, one would think. But here too, as with many things spiritual in nature, heavenly in origin, the appearance does not match the reality. Recently, one of our former graduates died in a motorcycle accident. From the outward perspective and the viewpoint of many, many people, this death seems like a tragedy. A young man cut down in the prime of life. And certainly his loved ones and his fellow Christians suffer a loss. They don't have him around anymore. But when the death involves a believer in Christ, we know the unseen reality that Jesus has gained him forever. And he has gained the greatest benefit he possibly could, the glory of heaven. In such instances, we draw our hope and base our comfort, not on what the five senses are telling us, but only on what God shows us in His Word. So many things in your Christian life are going to be like that. When you receive the sacrament, for example, when you eat and drink the bread and wine, you have to take the Lord's word for it, that you're also getting the body and blood of Christ. Your senses, including taste, will not tell you that. What about the passing of time? As days and years go by, and for some of us here, it seems like yesterday when we were in high school, but here we are in advanced adulthood or approaching retirement age. We need God's Word telling us that Judgment Day is coming. This world will come to an end. What about the forgiveness of your sins? This is not an event that unfolds right before your very eyes. You do not get the first-hand experience of Jesus telling you face-to-face, as He did to that man paralyzed on the mattress, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." And yet, you do get to hear Him tell you that in His Word and in the sacrament too. This pattern, where the reality does not seem to match the appearance, especially holds true in the death of Christ. Imagine standing there at the cross of Calvary, looking at Jesus, seeing this beaten, broken man suffering so horribly. You can sense the physical agony of it to a point. And some people, well, they just see weakness. And they scoff. If He's the Son of God, He should come down from that cross. That's what they're seeing. Meanwhile, others, their image of this goes a different direction. This shouldn't be. This is wrong. And they weep. Meanwhile, what no one can see with their eyes is God placing the sins of the whole world on His Son. What we can't see is the experience of hell happening that Friday afternoon. God the Father forsaking His Son. What we can't see is the full brunt of God's anger striking Jesus as the punishment for our sins. What we can't see is the Father satisfied with the payment Jesus made. Thank God that the unseen reality does not escape us. Thank God that through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, we do see. We do see by faith the fact of our salvation and the promise of our heavenly glory all wrapped up, all firmly based on His work, His sacrifice, His victory for us. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning singing hymn 284, stanzas 1, 4, and 6. Stanzas 1, 4, and 6 of hymn 284.